When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It is a Celtics Wednesday, and as always, Mego is here. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here to talk about the happy team.
Yeah, the team that has a really good coach and the is team, all set for a while.
The team who wins and seems to at least, you know, like
enjoy
their
each
coach
other.
Enough.
I mean, that was a good win last night.
It was an awesome win last night. I think last night was, obviously, you break a 15-game win streak to start the season for the Cavs. I don't know if you care if it's the NBA Cup or not, but, you know, there is something in it for that. And on top of it all, I think it was the best game that we've seen from Jason Tatum this season and the first statement game that we've seen from him. I know he had the buzzer beater, which was then contested by the refs after the fact the other night. If you stayed up late for that Raptors game. But last night was really the first statement from Jason Tatum in the MVP race.
I was going to say, so you say statement MVP wise, that's what we got from Jason Tatum last night.
Yeah, so I have been and I'm still skeptical about whether or not Jason Tatum for MVP is a realistic expectation for this year. I do think he'll finish in the top three, where last year he finished top six.
Leads the league in points currently.
Yes, it's early, and I know there's people out there who are like, November basketball, ugh, and they'll roll their eyes at MVP talk. But look, last night is the kind of game that voters should and probably will consider when they're looking at the body of work for who's going to be considered MVP in June, because they break the win streak for the Cavs. The Cavs were the number one team and the last unbeaten team, and it's a nationally televised game. So it's not just a regional thing. This is a big platform, and Tatum comes up with 33 points, 12 boards, 7 assists, and he makes a huge impact on defense, especially after that third quarter when the team was really bleeding out, because I'm sorry, but Kata couldn't do a damn thing on the inside around that rim.
I think it's more, it's his time now for like, all right, so guys that might finish a little bit or might be in the conversation with him, the Joker. All right, the Joker's got his. Giannis got his. I think now when you start to look at it, it's Tatum's time. He's the next guy. He's proven that he can win a chip. And now it's the next time. So I think the voters, and they go, all right, let's give it to Tatum.
Do you think because he was so on last night, that's why Jalen took a while to kick it into high gear? Like, Jalen started off kind of slow, which always worries me as a Jalen stan. But was it because Tatum was so on fire that maybe he steps back and says, all right, this is Tatum's game?
I think it was a little bit of the way that the game started, Courtney, where it was the Cavs having a really good interior defense and really strangely deciding to let the Celtics play from the perimeter, where they got the three going early, and of course JB has a nice three, but that's much more Tatum's game and Derek White's game, and Al Horford came alive, like turned back the clock last night with his threes. And so I think Jaylen Brown really explodes when you need the points in the paint and you need him to get into that physical inside game and even go inside outside. They didn't even need to do that to start last night. They were just from the outside. And so I think that's why it looks so much more like Tatum's game from the jump.
And Tatum's more of like a facilitator where he'll like get a lot of things going. Jaylen Brown's game, I think he's a better version, but if you wanted to compare him to somebody and watch who he plays, he reminds me a lot of two guys, Jimmy Butler, his style, and DeMar DeRozan, right? Where he's probably a better three-point shooter than those guys, but his mid-range and his ability to get to the rim because of his explosiveness is what really kind of excels Jaylen Brown.
He just looked way better in the fourth than he did in the first half, I thought. So that was just, he turned it on.
Well, because he gets into that like Jimmy Buckets bully mode, and it's like, all right, I'm going to take it to the paint. And it's a good dynamic, and we've always had this discussion, but they know each other's roles now, and that's why they're able to play so well.
You like the cup, though.
I kind of do.
Really?
I kind of do. What? I'm like, I don't think that the Celtics, I like it so far because the Celtics haven't really had to sacrifice anything for it yet. And so I don't care about raising a banner. They shouldn't do that if they win it. I like the idea of having a double championship for this team. so that the national talking heads have to spend more time on the Celtics? Because I really think, I was talking to a former Celtic about this the other day. I really think there is still this anybody but the Celtics with the league right now. Mm. I think that the league doesn't consider them the sexiest team. They want
to be. Who are you talking
to,
Perk?
No, I'm just talking like from a big picture perspective. I don't. They wanted to be Anthony Edwards so bad. They wanted to be SGA. It's the same thing that they did with Joker a couple of years ago. They didn't want to pay attention to the Nuggets. They were like, we don't want to look at Denver. And I do think this team has personality, but it's starting to get a little bit annoying. Guys, they are running an ad right now, the league, about it's a whole new year. It's a whole new look, a totally different league. And I'm like, what about the champs that just brought back their whole team? Yeah. Like, you're literally just thumbing your nose at the Celtics. So part of it is I want them to be able to have another big platform to take over. And we haven't gotten to the point where we had to see, there's this point differential where if you're gambling on any of these games going forward, you're really going to have to pay attention to after this round. There's this point differential thing that may lead towards Mazzulla putting the starters back in and playing more time. And that's the part that concerns me, because I don't want wear and tear for basically a meaningless championship in the middle of the season. But we haven't gotten to that point yet, so I can still enjoy
it. They want to talk at the league, because even with their playing tournament cup commercial, Tatum's nowhere to be found on that. I mean, they got Michael.
Maybe it's because Tatum isn't sellable. Maybe his personality isn't like
what
LeBron.
What is not sellable about him?
He's not outgoing. He doesn't command
Curtis,
the spotlight.
He is what the league wanted these players to be 20 years ago. When Allen Iverson came into the league and all of a sudden you had to have a dress code.
Yep.
Like, this is what you wanted the league to be. And then you look at the guy and you're like, ugh.
I have
all
nothing
he does
to do
is
with
talk
the
about
league.
How much he loves being a dad.
Right.
Come on, guys.
They want Anthony Edwards. The one who's like, F their side.
I'm not saying it's
baby mama drama.
I don't know. Why don't we put up like more highlights of Ja? Oh, wait. Ja can't be in the league right now. Come on, guys.
Well, I don't think it's what I want. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just saying that whatever the league believes the audience wants, they don't think Tatum's personality is sellable.
Do you think it's because he has a quiet personality, though?
No.
Because I do think the NBA is one of the more outspoken leagues, where the guys that get the most clicks are the ones that are always dressing crazy, saying crazy things, are always out there.
The league likes the drama.
Tatum wears some
weird. Yeah, he wears crazy things.
Not as weird.
He does, but
Anthony
Edwards wears sweatpants. The league loves the drama.
Seen what Joe Burrow is wearing lately?
And the
girls are loving it.
They don't love it. Yeah, they do. I've been asked not to talk about Joe Burrow in my house. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh. I mean,
I mean, you're a newlywed.
It didn't take long. This happened well before the nuptials.
Okay.
I was told the way that I talk about Joe Burrow is, quote, creepy because of our age difference.
He was wearing.
I don't even think you can't think about the
age difference. Yeah, Greg hates age difference.
I hate age
differences. I always forget how young he is.
He was wearing a Hillary Clinton pantsuit. I mean,
and it looked like bomb.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
The way Debo Samuel dresses, I'm like, all right, whatever. But the NBA, I think they like the drama, not like the crazy off the court drama, but they like those guys. And they're right. That's why the Joker. They don't really love him because
I have to go home to my horses.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't want that.
And Tatum's like, you know, he loves his kid. He's obviously a huge mama's boy, and he's proud of that. And he's not a big
God
talker.
Heaven, put your pants on.
He is. Well, like me, he grew up in a single parent household, so you tend to lean more towards being, you know, cool with being a mom.
Wait, so I'm confused. The Twitch is saying that he's the most sellable, and you guys are saying he's not sellable. I don't understand.
No, I think he is sellable, but he doesn't have the good flashy talking drama that some of the league likes, but you can sell them.
But Giannis doesn't have that either.
Yeah, but Giannis is like
he's like a little kid. Giannis has that kid energy.
Giannis is turning heel, man.
Oh, he is.
We need a good heel in the NBA, and he's turning
guy.
Heel. Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
It looks like you're going to get Kristaps Porzingis back soon. He next step in his return. He's went to Maine or whatever?
So he was actually local with Maine. Okay. So I don't know how that works, okay. But the Maine Celtics were down here. And he's rehabbing with them, and then he's being recalled back to the Celtics. But it's interesting because I was at practice last Friday, got a little glimpse of him in a practice penny coming off the court. So I was like, is he like scrimmaging with the guys in practice? Is he that far along? Yeah. Asked Joe Mazzulla. Joe Mazzulla said, well, he's been doing some defensive reads against the coaches. And then Drew Holiday comes up and he's like, yeah, I was doing some drills with Porzingis.
Yeah, so
like,
he's back.
Okay.
Right.
So I think it's
pretty close.
It's safe to say that he's going along very well. It's just a matter of what the exercise science guys and gals decide is the right time for him to return. But I would guess it's going to be December.
And when they get him, that train is going to be hard to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you get Porzingis, changes everything. And so hopefully they were saying December. So that's good that, you know, we're a few weeks out. And I want to see him. I want him back out there because I want to see how much he can go through. And, you know, if God forbid, knock on wood, something does happen, I'd rather it happen, you know, a lot earlier rather than right before the playoffs start so they can continue to build the chemistry with the team that they have and get Nemus on the court because they exposed him yesterday, especially in the pick and rolls.
Yeah, it was unfortunate because I really like Nemi. I think that he's a great project. Yeah. He was on a two-way contract last year, and you see how much playing time he's getting now. Not a good night last night. Like, they really exposed him down in the paint defensively, but I'm still bullish on he can be a little bit of a stopgap while you're trying to get Porzingis back into the mix. Yeah.
Another big night for our guy, Pete Pritch, last night.
Yeah.
You can count on him when you need
money,
him.
He's money, man.
My guy. He's nails.
Yeah.
He really just does not fear any situation. And even last night, I think it was either in the second or third quarter, where he pulled up short in his mid-range game and had this little floater over, like you see Jaylen Brown do sometimes, Courtney. And it's like, does he know how tall he is?
Yeah.
How does he get that to go? He just has that mentality that you can't teach.
He talks mad-ish, and I love it. Like, there's something about him. He has that little, that it factor to him, that swag to him, where he talks-ish, and he's definitely done a great job, and he's, like, found his role. You know, they've definitely found that role for him. And, you know, good for him. Greg, you've been on him since day one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any big plans for Thanksgiving? I mean, are you hosting or?
I'm going to the in-laws. We're having a big and proper Thanksgiving.
Oh.
So Courtney had to plan my outfit.
Is that local?
I'll send you some
local.
Options.
Staying local, not getting on any trains or planes or anything like that.
What does proper mean?
Oh, like a drinks hour order.
Oh, I see. Oh,
you know, the whole works.
Oh, the whole entire thing.
Yeah. That's what they do?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Like two forks?
No, not quite that.
Okay, not that proper.
Also, I still don't think I'm allowed at the big table.
I don't know
at what point we graduate from the kids' table.
I would have thought that adults that are married get moved up.
Probably.
No, there's too many people.
Oh, there's too many. There's too
the issue is that this Thanksgiving is very good, and so people never phase out of it. Mm-hmm. In fact, they just try to add more people with their children.
Mm.
And if they are a proper family, then it's hard to get to the adults' table. They got like you on the secondary table.
But keep them hosting as long as you can. Like that's a nightmare when you have to. Yeah, when you have to.
Have you guys ever carved a turkey?
Yeah. Carved one?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Okay, so I will say...
A million times. I'm one of the better turkey carvers.
Is it as difficult as people make it out to be?
It's really not at all. It's very simple.
One
you
got to
pull
me,
the legs
one
it's very important. I will tell you what you want to try. You want to keep the turkey slices as thin as possible. So you may feel like you want to rush through it and do bigger slices. You don't want to do that.
Slow.
Because people prefer thinner and larger slices so as to provide for gravy and mashed potato surface area on the
maximize
slice.
The surface area.
Am I correct about that?
I kind of like
that's
a thick
good.
Piece.
Well done by you.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
No, nobody does.
I do. Yeah.
So do you use that one that plugs into the wall with the ridges on it,
the
little knife there? I feel like my mother had one of those 30 years ago floating around.
Will you be making the stuffing inside the turkey?
I don't know, but the usual person who carves the turkey is having knee surgery. And so my mother-in-law was a little panicked, and I said, well, why don't we just try to carve the turkey together? And my husband said, that's a terrible idea. Don't try to do that. And I said, I think we can just do it off YouTube. So now I kind of feel like I have something to prove.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't need a YouTube tutorial to carve a turkey.
I think that's smart.
It's been...
Apparently you have to, like, dislodge
you got,
a
don't
joint.
You gotta, like...
Oh, God. Like,
don't have you Google it?
I don't.
Have you done that? You have to, like, dislodge the joint.
You just rip... It's very... It's like, what can go wrong?
You have to treat it like Lonzo Ball or somebody.
Like, we don't need a YouTube tutorial for everything in this country. Like,
don't you take the meat off the bone and everything and put it all in one thing so that's kind of when you lay it out, it's all deboned? Ain't that how you do it?
You got to cut it off.
And you got to have the drumsticks. So.
You need the electric carver. That's the first thing.
Not very green.
Is that the one with the ridges? It plugs into the wall?
Oh, okay. And the two blades that you put in that go in the in the opposite direction.
You're talking me out of this. I don't know if I can do it.
Well, we'll talk to you before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
We'll see you again next week. That is Mego on a Celtics Wednesday. Here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins have fired head coach Jim Montgomery. Don Sweeney announced yesterday that the team has relieved Montgomery of his duties as head coach. Associate coach Joe Sacco will assume interim head coaching duties now. The guys have Utah in town tomorrow night at 7. And the Celtics kill the Cavs. Perfect record in their NBA Cup matchup last night. 120-117, the final from the TD Garden. The guys dominated the first half. And while they did let them in a bit in the third, they were able to seal the deal. Jason Tatum led the team with 33 points, 7 assists, and 12 rebounds. They're off now till Friday for another NBA Cup game. This one against the Wizards on the road. Some NFL news. Another firing in New York as GM for the Jets, Joe Douglas, has been fired. And it is now time to put someone in timeout.
You're in timeout. Let's find out who's getting a timeout this week. Brought to you by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof. TimeoutMarket.com.
I'm putting the Bruins in timeout. I think that the way that they've handled the Montgomery situation, I think that the tweet alone was enough to turn me off from it. Mm-hmm. No tweet was necessary if that's what you were going to post. I don't put that on the social department. I do not put that on Elaine. That must have come from higher ups, of course. I just don't like it. I think that they're giving the players a complete cop-out.
Okay.
I am putting the Bruins players on timeout because you never go against the Brotherhood where they're treating Swayman differently because of him holding out for his contract or him trying to get money or those type of things. It's always, no matter, I don't care if you don't like the person, it's always about you having your brother's back when they're trying to get paid.
And I would like to co-sign and add to Wiggy's point he's made today that just because hockey players smile when they ask for more money doesn't mean they're different than other athletes. Everybody wants the most money.
Yep.
They feel they're disrespected. They demand changes. Don't let the hockey guys fool you.
This is the first time we're doing this since the report came out, so I'm going to put Patriots ownership in timeout for reportedly having asked around the league about if they're bringing up their quarterback the right way.
Well, Gerard Mayo told you that was an absolutely false report on this show Monday.
I want to believe Gerard, but just in case that's not necessarily true, I'm still going to put the Patriots ownership in timeout.
Let me ask you.
Of course.
Do you think they were calling around behind his back asking about the development of Drake May?
Absolutely do.
You absolutely do.
Yes.
1,000%.
I bet they never told him they were doing it, which is why he said the reports are false, and they did it anyways.
Do you think he asked Thunder if Thunder had called around?
After the fact, probably, yeah.
And so Thunder was not being upfront and honest then if he told him that he did not. Well, I mean, Gerard Mayo seemed pretty convinced on this show.
Unless it
Monday.
Wasn't Thunder in particular who did the calls.
Did Mayo seem bothered by it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Defense
he
rest.
Frustrated.
Or unless it was one of those things where they try to get us with a fake headline or trump up the headline where Kraft is just talking to owner buddies and just like, hey, what are some of the things you do when you have a young quarterback and the owner says, oh, I would do this, I would do that. Like, that's not a big deal. But the way the story was reported, they were calling GMs and getting like real information on how can we make it better for our young
people. Well, yeah, the insinuation is that you don't feel confident in your coaching staff when it comes to developing a talent like Drake May. So, all right, as long as we're talking about NFL owners, I will follow up on my lead this morning and just put them in timeout, those that are complaining about Tom Brady and trying to find new ways to limit Tom Brady when it comes to doing his job. He's doing, I think, a great job on Fox. And for those guys to think that doing a player interview for a pregame show is somehow going to give him, as an owner, a secret sauce information that the Raiders can use is ridiculous and dumb on their part, because that access makes the broadcast better, or it should.
And I got to tell you, all that inside info, the Raiders are unstoppable. I mean, they haven't won a game since he started broadcasting. Yeah.
All right, Courtney, thank you.
Thank you. Time Out Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarketboston.com. You've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 big deal meals, four hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
45 degrees.
Gerard Mayo on this show Monday, and Shime alluded to it when he put the Patriots ownership group in timeout a little while ago, because he believes that they were indeed calling around the league and asking for advice. And I assume you believe that is going behind the back of your head coach. Am I correct?
Correct. And I think the very end of that clip was basically him being pissed with the Crafts. Like, that was him directly saying, like, why are you going elsewhere? We know everybody is telling you that Alex Van Pelt is doing a good job and the quarterback is progressing well. Why is anybody ever talking to anybody else?
I love America, because when people hear things, they hear them two different ways. Like, some people say,
probably not just America.
He's pissed, so there has to be some truth to it. Where I hear, like, okay, he's pissed and he's tired of it because he knows there's no truth to it. So it's kind of really, I just think it's...
But I think you think that there may be some partial truth to it. It just may not be as malicious as people are making it out to be. Like you said on Monday, mm-hmm. and I think that you're right, that maybe there was conversations had between Bill and people outside Robert and people outside the organization, but it was more so just making small talk, and it came down to, oh, how's Drake May doing? Right. Yeah, what did you do with a rookie quarterback? And then that was probably relayed to Gerard Mayo, and he's annoyed with the way in which it's blown up.
Right.
Like, I think that there were probably phone calls had, but I don't think that there was malicious intent when it came to Robert speaking to others.
And I don't think there was calls directly. Those phone calls were directly to get insight
yes.
on a quarterback.
It just came up.
Maybe he's having a conversation with another owner.
Yeah.
That it was in a similar position. You know, the owner of the Buffalo Bills. Isn't that the Ralph Wilson family or whatever?
Pegulas,
sorry. Hey, you know, you had a young quarterback. What are some of the things that you did? Okay, cool. And then, like, it's not like something that they made it seem like, when I say they, Burt Breer and whoever else reported it, made it seem like Robert was going out there aggressively and trying to get information on how to manage and figure out how to best get what you need out
but,
of a
but
young...
But is that his purview?
Because no,
like,
but
is that Robert Kraft's purview?
No, that's Elliot Wolf's job. That's why you hired him. That's the coach's job. That's why you hired them.
Right, but they made it seem like Robert was doing this because Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo didn't know how to do it.
Right. Yeah, no, that's exactly what it made it seem like, Wiggy.
Right.
Is that he was doing it because he felt that other people weren't necessarily competent enough to do it. And that's a horrible look. If you just watch Drake May, any person that knows has watched football for any length of time, uh-huh. you just watch Drake May play each week, does it look like he's getting better each week?
Yes.
Bingo. That's all you need. That's all the information as the owner that you need to see.
You don't believe they're doing their job. So then you don't believe the reports that he was...
No, I absolutely believe the reports that he was calling other people, Wiggy.
And so you don't... So you think...
Because I think it's incompetent.
He's hired two people that are incompetent and can't get him to develop, but you just said he's developing every week.
Yeah, no, what I'm telling you is that I think...
Am I the one with the popsicle headache?
No, yes.
Yeah, you are, I think.
Yes, you are, because you're not listening.
Yeah. I'm listening.
I'm telling you I believe
yep.
that the Crafts were calling around because they don't know what they're doing, because Bill Belichick took care of all this for a quarter century. They don't know how to run an actual football team because one guy did it.
Uh-huh.
So they're calling out, making sure their rookie quarterback is quote-unquote progressing properly, even though they could simply just watch the games each week and know that themselves. They don't need to call outside the organization.
So their eyes see that he is developing.
No, you're missing it.
No.
I'm telling you, anyone should be able to see that.
Right.
They are unable to because they don't know what they're doing.
Wait a second.
That's my point.
So now they are so unaware of how football is
yes.
that they can't see what the rest of us can see.
Correct.
In an 8-year-old.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That he is developing, and that Mayo and the coaching staff are doing their job to develop him. But they can't see that, but we all can see it. But let's call other places to really, really figure out how that's done, because those guys can't do it.
I believe that the Crafts blame Belichick for the failure of Mac Jones. They see another rookie quarterback having success.
Right.
And they're trying to do this to ensure that doesn't happen again, even though it's not necessary to be done. I believe that is it, and it's also that Kraft is so horned up about the Hall of Fame that he wants it to be more and more that he's involved with this what appears to be very successful prospect that they took at third overall.
I mean, it's dipping your toe a little bit in the area where it doesn't belong. Like, if you have full confidence in Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf and Alex Van Pelt.
Right. Well, because what was the key word in the offseason, Greg? For this entire organization.
Collaborative.
Collaboration. So shouldn't they be collaborating with the guys in the building instead of calling other people across the league?
Right. Yeah. And the other thing is that since Mayo was on with us, which is shocking that nobody asked him directly last week until Greg did about the Breer report, why wouldn't the Crafts come out and say, right, we stand by Gerard Mayo, these reports are false?
Yeah.
Why has there been literally...
Because Mayo said it. They're like, all right, Mayo covered it.
Okay, but Mayo's on an island because he's not the one who was reportedly to have said anything.
Or maybe they're like some people, like how we see the world in two different things. Maybe they're the type of people who are like, we're not going to entertain this nonsense.
Or maybe it's Robert Kraft saying, yeah, I did have a conversation with somebody and that did come up, but that's not why I was calling around to all of these people. Like,
I can assure you the organization makes it clear when reports aren't accurate.
A 617 texter on the Subaru of New England text line, find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com, says, for years, the Crafts could not be meddling owners because of Bill, and now they can meddle all they want because it's somebody who's under their thumb. So,
yeah, and that's a bad thing.
And the whole Bill Belichick ruining Mac Jones, it wasn't they ruined him as a player on the field on how they were coaching him. They ruined him, and I bet Kraft knows this, on the hiring of Matt Patricia. That's clearly the issue. So where Robert's looking at and going, okay, we're hiring guys that are offensive-minded guys to work with Gerard and help out our young quarterback is completely different than what Bill did in Mac's second year.
How did Gerard Mayo react to this report to us?
He was pissed.
And who did he first mention and defend? Alex Van Pelt.
That came afterwards.
He took it personally as a shot at Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, it was fake news.
Which I like the fact that he's standing up for the guy.
Oh, well, Drake's had a great play. It's like, who do you think's responsible for that? It's Alex Van Pelt. He's responsible for that.
Right. So that, you know, there's been a lot of people, myself included, that have been very critical of the coordinator. So maybe Robert Kraft said, let's not do this again where a bad coordinator ruins our great rookie quarterback. Doesn't that make perfect sense to everybody?
Yeah.
If he blames Patricia?
No, I all it does is undermine your coach, your GM. That's all it does.
He doesn't care because he hasn't corrected the record. He's allowed this to sit out there for a week now.
That's all it does, in my opinion, is undermine the two guys that you hired.
Well, and that's what Shine was suggesting.
Yeah,
it's not a good thing.
Yeah, I know it's not a good thing. But I don't, like I said, I'm more on the lines of he was just having a conversation. If there is any truth to it, he was having a conversation with another owner, owners, just asking questions like, you know, Greg, for example, I call you up, hey, what's the best way of doing turkey on Thanksgiving? Covenant.
Yeah, but Wiggy,
hold on. My wife wants to do it. But
okay.
I don't have confidence in her.
Right, you're undermining your wife.
Right, rather.
Courtney, what should I wear?
Rather you just made your own point.
And Wiggy, don't you do that call before Thanksgiving?
No, not during Thanksgiving. Listen, rather than you and I having a conversation about Ty's event. Ty's event's coming up. Oh, I can't wait for Thanksgiving. Hey, you know what? You've carved turkeys. My wife's going to be doing it. What are some of the things that you would recommend? And you go, but, okay, recommend this.
But if you hired your wife to be the turkey carver, you hired her for a reason.
Right.
Because you think she's going to be the best turkey carver. Right. You let her carve the turkey.
Bingo. Let her cook.
And the only,
okay?
Yes, and the only way you and I
You're
have...
You're not calling around asking her for advice on her behalf on carving the turkey.
That's my point.
That sounds like turkey carving remorse.
That's my point. Yes. I think it was just a regular conversation that he was having, and then he just asked, say, you know...
That was the last thing at the conversation.
Yeah, like, what would you, you know, would you do?
He's like, Jerry, you got to fix the curtain situation. Yeah. And then also, how do you develop a new quarterback like Dak Prescott? I mean, I don't know. Maybe
did ask that, Jerry would have said, well, I had a really good offensive line that I drafted. Yeah. The Patriots clearly weren't listening then.
I told you. Gerard can't win.
We have got to take a break, but we will be right back. Well, we got to get out of here so Wiggy and I can go and defungal spray our bowling shoes for 24 lanes tonight in Marlboro at Apex. I hope to see you there.
Yeah.
Our third annual 24 lanes with Ty Law tonight and Corvus Vodka at Apex in Marlboro. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Always a good time.
It is a great time, good turnout,
great people, great food, great drink. Pull up. Yeah. And it's a great place. I want to see if I get on the go-karts.
You always say that. Yeah, you never get on them.
I don't know why. Like they have. I've done it one time before. I took my kids out there one time before. And they have the good go-karts, helmets, that type.
Well, you want to go out early and we'll see if we can get in a couple quick trips around the go-kart track, whatever.
So what time should we get there?
Get that, like 5 o'clock or something.
Right, so that means we're going to leave at like 3:30. Traffic is crazy headed that direction, right?
But you should just go right to Jersey.
By the way, I really appreciate everybody with the advice, but it's all different advice on trying to get down to New Jersey and the Jersey Shore next week.
I think Courtney and I are the best one.
Yeah.
No, one guy in my DMs who goes there all the time, they go to Ocean City, New Jersey every year.
Hey, look, Greg opened the guy's DM.
Says you got to take the Mario Cuomo Bridge, which is the formerly the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Okay.
Stay off the GW Bridge, whatever you do.
Okay.
And then somebody else is...
Do you have to wear a mask on that?
Somebody else is like, whatever you do, do not go on the Tappan Zee Bridge to get to the Jersey Shore.
Right. But you see, Courtney and I said fly to Newark and then just get an Uber from Newark down to the Jersey Shore.
A cool hour-long drive.
Right. And the traffic won't be that bad.
An hour in an Uber?
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
Well, he's
as opposed to 6 hours in a car?
Right.
Yeah. Four and a half hours.
And he's going to get an Uber Black.
Right.
So it's not like he's just going to get, like, you know, your standard, somebody's pulling up in a Prius.
Right.
Six hours, 6 hours in a car, Shine?
No, thanks.
What do you mean 6 hours? It's a 4.5 hour
All right, so even four and a half hours.
If he leaves at 6 a.m. But I worry about Greg, you know, maybe... enjoying Wednesday evening before and not wanting to wake up at 6 and then all of a sudden it's 10 or 11 and you haven't hit the road.
Meal.
Yeah.
The meal is the most important part of the whole entire holiday.
And helping out.
And family.
Oh, preparing the meal.
Well, I gotta help. I have to help when it comes to the food prep and I gotta do the dishes and all that
it's
stuff.
It's a generational thing. I'm 40. Like, my dad writing out or printing out MapQuest directions from here to Yankee Stadium, I think is his favorite thing in the world. Like, you're going to go on the Cross Bronx, you're going to take the Deegan down here. I'm like, Dad, it's like, I'll figure it out.
It is, it's so, when you think about it, like, what a horrible way to travel. It's like, five pieces of paper that tell you to take a right at Cross Street and then go for 1/4 mile. I mean, it was
now awful. Literally you get automatically rerouted around traffic jams without even knowing it.
Right.
And there's got to be plenty of flights that fly out of Boston Wednesday to hit to Newark.
Plenty of flights. It's the biggest travel day of the year.
Yeah, have fun paying that.
But it's a short flight to Newark.
Yeah.
And it's leaving Logan.
I don't think there's a lot of flights to Neptune Township in New Jersey.
No, not Neptune. Well, I'm saying
you
Newark.
Go to Newark.
New Jersey. You go to Newark, and then that's a big international airport.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, it's only an hour Uber ride from
anywhere that aren't named these douchey towns.
I didn't select this place. My brother Dan selected it. I'm sure it's going to
be. Is your annoying cousin going to be there that always DMs?
No, he's not going to be there. That guy.
So plenty of flights, Courtney?
Plenty.
All right,
you're looking at about $300 average.
Yeah, that's good.
I blocked him. I finally.
He's an everyday listener. You're talking about my cousin David Putnam.
Chris, it's actually the Tappan Zee still. Oh, and then you're gonna.
Does he DM you?
He did once. Yeah.
He
DMs
meter
maid. Me all the time too. He gets very angry at certain things that happen on the show, but then he listens every day.
I think the one time he ever DM'd me was to make fun of you.
Well, I'm fine with that. That's what the show is for.
There you go.
All right. Well, we got to go. Lot to talk about next with Jones and Keefe.
Oh, man.
The scoop of the century.
Yeah. Wow.
Employee of the month, Rich Keefe.
There better be a crisp 20 from Ken Laird today.
100%.
That's an IOU.
I mean, unbelievable scoop. I don't know who his source is. Will he reveal his source?
Never.
No.
Would Rich go to jail rather than reveal his source?
Deep throat.
Yes.
He would? Okay.
He should put that on his office placard. It should be now truly Bruins insider.
Yeah, well, there's no other Bruins insider.
No.
I mean, he's the
best in the city.
He is the Bruins insider. I mean, it was hours later that anybody even dared touch that story.
Yeah. I mean, who's better than him when it comes to breaking stories about the Bees in the city? No one.
Courtney learned that the hard way.
Yep.
Yeah, Dave.
Wow. Scrapple.
We almost made it to 10.
You two have
I am feisty today.
You guys have a weird love-hate relationship.
We really do.
Yeah. You're besties in the office.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, every morning you're chatting.
And
we text.
He got the 20. We see it from
Keith.
You're
well gossiping done. And chatting for hours before the show starts.
Yeah.
Scoops, get over here.
There he is.
Hey.
I mean, he's in the world with Bissonette in them.
I mean, my Lord.
This is big time.
What a thrill.
Make sure Ken doesn't deduct that from your paycheck.
Wow. I know. You're going to get taxed.
What time did you have that baby?
So I got it around noon, and then I was waiting to confirm it, though.
Oh, you went to a second source.
Like, listen, this is what we got to do. Oh. You know? Because Scoops is 100% hit rate.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't want to risk missing one.
Right.
So I was like, I got it at 12. The show ends at 2. I'd like to have something confirmed before the end of the show. And then it literally came out around... whenever we said 140, I think.
Did you confirm it with Jim Montgomery's family?
I called Jim. I was like, listen, Jim. What are we doing here?
Did at least give him a heads up?
Like, Jim, you understand what's happening.
Who's your source?
I will never tell you that. Huh? I could never tell you that.
We'll pull off fingernails.
Did Woodward and Bernstein release their source?
I think they did eventually.
Oh, they had to.
I think the man on his deathbed, it was an FBI agent.
Yeah.
There used to be 50 sources at this place.
I mean, it must be at the tippity top of the organization.
You
might never know.
Yeah. Be like John J. Rambo. Let us pull off
fingernails. I'll go to jail for my source.
But a second source, too, means that you've got a few. If you were getting a second one.
I mean, they hadn't even given him the cardboard box to put his belongings in.
Right.
Before you were on the radio with him yesterday.
Does the source reach out to you, or do you reach out to the source daily to say, hey, anything going on?
No, you don't want to be a pest.
Right.
You don't want to be like, enough of that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be too much. You know, you got to let some kind of slip by you. But this was a big one.
Do you ever have to hit the translate button on Instagram when your source is DMing you?
Stay away from me, Rich.
I'm with you, Wiggy. Listen,
stay away from me.
Tight-lipped on that.
Did it feel good to finally get credit from one of those Big J journalists?
You know what's funny is nationally I got some credit. Locally, it is none.
Really?
Yeah, they hate you.
None.
Locally.
The Bruins, the reporters, hate Scoops Keefe.
Oh,
they
no.
Hate it.
Well, that's hate to see you coming.
Hate it.
That's because you're the best in the business.
That's right.
I already said, when it comes to breaking, there's nobody that is better than you with the hockey thing. Don't let them do it. Don't let him do it.
Yep.
That's always what brings down the gangster at the top. The loose
problem.
Lips.
That's true.
Real problem.
I, for one, am taking notes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stay off the 9th floor or wherever the press is next
time. Oh, God. Stay away from that.
Watch out.
They're angry. They're angry.
Dupes is waiting for you in the quad.
Rich is like Kramer when he took the karate class with all the kids. And he's beating them all up. They're going to catch him in the alleyway.
You need one of those derby hats that says press right across.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, fellas, Scoops is here. Dateline, TD Garden. Scoops Keefe with another breaking scoop. All right, well, we got to go. Jones and Keefe next. Have a great day. We'll see you tonight in Marlboro at Apex for 24 Lanes and back tomorrow at 6. Thank you for your patronage.